Moore said. How many of you watched 52 today? Now, one of you guys working on the map, back up for a minute and let's take a look at it. So I can get a full... Doesn't look as full as the... Turn over there to the other one, the King's House map. Get a view of its spread. Now there's the King's House map. Now, what we've been aiming for is to produce a map like that of tithers. We crossed a major hurdle last night, and I finally bit the bullet, and I have made a decision. This week, however long it takes to reach that point where I can tell that the people that mean business have made their commitment, and we anything further is going to be the result of continued and additional teaching, then I'm going to look at that map and the cities that don't have enough tithers or show some progress toward tithing, I'm going to make a conclusion that the soil's bad. And my suggestion is that the tithers who live in the area take their money and buy a dish and ask God to give you a chance to move from the area. I mean, there's no sense in living in a desert. And a desert wasteland can take many geographic shapes. It has to do with the receptivity to the Word of God, burned over fields, rocky soil, thorny soil, but more important than anything else, the devil's hold on a territory. Now let me see the tithing map. The King's tithers were introduced last night. Let's start up in New England and just swing slowly across the map until we can see that it's starting to take hold up there in the New England and New York area. Pretty sparse by comparison to the King's houses, but it's only one day. What do we got there? What state's that? South or North Carolina. That's the Winston-Salem area. Head on across into Tennessee. Let's see how it looks. What is that, Nashville or Memphis? That's Nashville. What's Memphis look like? Not setting any records, is it? Now, I don't want to hear any excuses from anybody. Stop right there. And we're poor. That's why God established the tithing principle. You know, if you're not very smart, you start without much. It isn't that difficult to count up what 10% of 10 is. You pay a tenth minimum on what you have. Those who really learn how to tithe are going to be given 20 to 25%. But you qualify as a tither if you give a tenth. That's what the tithe means. And what's that, Kansas or Oklahoma? That's the Tulsa area. We've gone all night in Tulsa. Let's go to Kansas, see what it looks like. We're new there. That's Missouri. What in the world is that? That can't be Joplin by itself. It looks like... What city is that?
Kansas City.
Kansas City's up to the left. That's Kansas City's not right in the middle. That looks more like Springfield or Joplin. Can somebody go there and put your finger on that till I know what you're talking about? What is that?
Jefferson City.
Jefferson City. Well, that must be a dish. That doesn't come out of the Kansas network. Go over to Kansas. That's Kansas right there, isn't it? You know, you guys help him. He can't see through that camera. Tell him where Kansas is. I mean, you know, start thinking on your feet. This is a commando group. There's Topeka and Kansas City. Looks like Miami, Oklahoma down there. Where's Wichita? There's Wichita. Those Kansas folks are all right. They haven't been with us that long. Let's go to Washington, D.C. and see if we've got a tither in Washington, D.C. Put your finger on it so we can find it with the camera. Oh, I'll be a son of a... Wait a minute. I didn't think we had that many in Washington. Lord, I thought a miracle had taken place. What's that other place? New York? Go up there and see what... Wait a minute. Yeah, that's... Is that New York City? Well, I'll give them credit. Now let's go to Denver. See what it looks like. Help him find it. It's a big map. Let's all do it now. Don't need any help from the camera. I mean, you're having a hard enough time just finding the state. Don't go showing off. Now let's go, let's head over to Portland area. See if there's any soil up there. You aren't setting any record, are you? Not setting any record. Let's go down to San Francisco. Well, there's where the strength is. People ask, why are you going to open a church in San Francisco? Well, figure it out for yourself. Go over to Dallas-Fort Worth. That's a pretty nice little cluster, isn't it? Let's go to Los Angeles. There you see the power of teaching. Now, you know, I'm your teacher. You can come to me now. I'm your teacher. And teacher sets the goals, you know. For whom much is given, much is required. I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied with the Los Angeles, San Francisco performance. I think after 10 years, you look at Dallas-Fort Worth in a short time, give them 10 years, they're going to match it. So, you know, the goals have got to stay in relationship to what has been received in the teaching. Now, Los Angeles has been given a gift. And I want to tell you something. There is nothing right now in this nation that Satan wants more than to cause me to lose the grip the teaching has on Los Angeles. He can throttle that base. He's cut off the supply line. It was like somehow cutting off the source of supply from the United States during the war before the United States even got involved. Without Los Angeles, all that we have set out to do can't be done. Now, Satan really wants to throttle this ministry in Los Angeles. I mean, you figure the statistical probabilities that a car would hit. I understand it was 3 or 4 folds, several deaths in the accident, and caused the power to shoot into channel 30 to force it now to function on a 30% power until we can get the Klystron 2 for it. And these last countdown days as we fight up to October the 8th on the FM. Now, it was a major coup to get Channel 52. You know, you'd have watched it. It's a clear signal. Well, each time I say this, I am sure that this one's the worst. But there have been a few times I've sat down here and said, this is the worst day I've ever had in my life. I'll trade today for any two of the past days of my life. I started at 12 noon trying to get here live. And I feel tonight like the angel must have felt when he came to Daniel and said, I heard you pray 3 weeks ago. But the prince of Persia constrained me. And as always, you know, I can see it. It's become a useful thing if you can look at the right side of the cloud. Every time we make a major thrust out on the battlefield, carving some territory away from Satan, he goes bananas. And he attacks the people on the inside until everybody gets five thumbs and two left feet. And somehow or other, their brain stays on their pillow, and they don't bring them to work with them. Now, I haven't got bad people working for me or with me. And with this miracle of Channel 30, I want to slowly scan the lines and look at this decimated battlefield. Just take a look at it. I mean, is there any way? Go over here, Mike. You can drive the sidewinder if you can't run it through the wall. I mean, nobody seems to be able to get any message that I communicate. But there is a pervasive power of the evil spirit to come into a situation that you can say go left and people will think you said right. You can say go up and they'll think you said go down. And it always catches by surprise. Look, no man could come. But God prizes freedom, and his ways are not our ways. And there are some things God sets out to do, once done, creates the opportunity for doing it. But it demands commitment and submission of will on the part of more than one person. Some things can't be done by one person. It takes two to agree. Now, if those that God has given the opportunity to do not rise to the challenge, some will, some won't, everyone bears the historic consequence. The job's not done. And my view of God is he's always a Reconstructionist God. He sets the random factor. When he turns freedom loose, he can make things happen. But there are some things he wants to happen through willing instruments. And he would rather suffer the loss of it not happening than have it happen with unwilling instruments. Other times he wants something to happen bad enough to coerce an unwilling instrument, like Paul. That's why when you put God in a box theologically, you're always going to reduce him in size and make him what he's not. God's free to do what he wants. And the record of the revelation of his nature is a record of God's prizing freedom that he turned loose. He wouldn't have risked sin if freedom didn't have that value to him, because sin, in essence, is the misuse of freedom. Now, in his master design, he gives opportunity. And sometimes what he wants done can't be done without a mixture of personality elements. It's like a team of horses. You have three of them instantly receptive to the team master. One, cold back, stubborn, self-seeking, selfish horse that throws them all out of step. Now, if God finally decides it's an unmixable combination, he has a choice. Coerce the happening or just let it fault. When he lets it fault, those that would have made it happen but were kept from it because of the intractable elements in God's eternal reward book, they get the credit as though the job was done. They get another chance, like Joshua and Caleb. In another setting, at another time, with other people. Maybe not the same task. But they get to go onward in God, and they get credit for their next task, and they get credit for the one that was left undone. Historically, everybody suffers. Spiritually, God has the ability to give the reward to those that would have done it as though it happened. Those that interfered not only suffer the historic consequences, but if they make it at all at the judgment seat of Christ, they stand accountable for their faithlessness. That philosophy developed out of me being in places where do my best. I couldn't get others to do with me. And there are people who count on me. Oh, he'll never quit. Ask my ex-wife. Ask a few other places. When I quit, it just happened so suddenly. And I've said if I leave this place, I think I'll would be judged of God, and I doubt that I will leave. But there are some things that God wants to do, and I'm trying to arouse you as pastor. I don't believe in cheap revivals where you massage the kind of life that doesn't really exist. I've been hammering the same truth to the people that have been blessed with this teaching. God is giving Los Angeles another chance. And there are certain times when more should be turned loose. Your pastor is in a stunned state of shock. And I think if you're very smart, you should have figured out that we're reaching a stage now where I can just pull a truck and start over in any one of these cities. I mean, you know, I'm no longer tied to anything unless God ties me there. And it seems to be such a little thing I'm reacting to. Look at the tithers here in Los Angeles. The little foxes that spoil the vine. I'm seeing the symptom of people that don't know how to recognize a miracle, that have gotten presumptuous, have gotten to the point like the children of Israel, they expect, you know, where's our water now? We're tired of this light stuff, this manna. Satiated on a miracle. Do you understand what that story means? Fed every day from heaven, every single day the manna covered the ground. That's the symbol of the Word of God. Every day they fed on this miracle. Nobody else in the world ever got to eat manna. We're tired of this. We want something spicy. We want leeks and garlic and onions like we used to have down in Egypt. And tired of this. I'm afraid. I'm really afraid for Los Angeles. I'm afraid for San Francisco. It's like an old, bored married life. Nothing excites you anymore. Can't get exhilarated. And my Lord, I just got to get down there and help them celebrate. Back on Channel 52, 7:30 in the morning till 4:30 in the afternoon. Do you understand anything I'm saying? Because if you understand it, they must understand it out there. The same God who gave the manna shut it off. Gave them quail till they got spicy food all right, and they vomited, turned the desert into a river. Your pastor's a lot of things. And I don't know why God wants him sometimes. But I'm still God's man. And there's something wrong, not with me, with those of you that have lost your first love. Now you better get on the telephone and talk to me right now. I better start seeing some life. Well, we've just joined Norfolk, Hartford, Winston-Salem. Don't stop answering the phone, folks. You stay on the phone while I talk. Last night, we started to sort out our people. We introduced a category of support called the King's Tithers. I've taught enough. It's time to find out the foundation we have in every city. Now, somebody take this pointer over there and help the cameraman out. Put the camera on Norfolk. I want to see how many tithers checked in from Norfolk, Virginia. Let's get the camera there. Looks like five. Going to take 300 in every city. Norfolk, Portsmouth, that area we've been on for well over a year. Virginia Beach. Now the question is, are there 300 people in that area that we've taught that will decide that this ministry is worth a tithe of their income, God's way? Who just joined us? Hartford. Let's go up to Hartford and take a look at Hartford. We've been there 10 years. Those are the tithers in Connecticut that are reached out of Hartford. It's going to take 300 of you. Now let's take a look at Winston-Salem. Down there in North Carolina. Well, it looks to me like Norfolk's doing about as well, and we went all night long out of Winston-Salem. The beauty of God's tithing principle is no respecter of persons. It's no amount becomes important. It's a percentage of what you have. Anybody can tithe. If you only got $10 to your name, a tithe is a dollar. If you're going to die, you just might have starvation. You might as well die with $9 as 10. God has promised his blessing to those who tithe. Who was on a 9? Well, we didn't look at Birmingham. Let's look at Birmingham. 1. You're holding the fort there, that's for sure. Tulsa. Let's look at Denver again. Now go to Los Angeles and you'll find out why I was able to go nationwide. It may shock you to know that I'm chiding at Los Angeles a bit tonight. They're spoiled. I've been 10 years in Los Angeles. And Connecticut ought to look like that. I've been 10 years in Connecticut. Now, my message to Los Angeles was delivered before we changed the hour. The children of Israel got tired. Tired of manna. They had a problem. An incurable problem. The book of Hebrews calls it a pernicious heart of unbelief. The name is exactly like the pernicious one of the names of Satan. They just have a bent in their nature to disbelief and to disfaith rather than faith. Now, I have decided it's sorting out time, and I have bitten the bullet. I want to separate myself one more step away from the TV evangelist. I pastor a church by television. We assemble together by telephone and by television. I'm the most accessible pastor in America. I'm in your home every night. I'm tired of leading you to the freedom in Christ and having you go to some other church that watch me secretly and criticize me all the time and then get ruined. Get out of those other churches. And tithe the man that has taught you grace and freedom and truth. You don't need a monastery to go to. If you don't have any social life, men join the Rotary or the regular social clubs of the town. You don't need some monastery. But Los Angeles has got me bothered. I ought to have every phone with two people waiting around the phone tonight as a Thanksgiving, rejoicing time to come and tell God by our presence here how grateful we are for opening up Channel 52 from 7:30 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. all day long every day. That's a miracle. And I'm upset at Los Angeles because they're acting like it's just a matter of course. You're getting satiated with manna from heaven until you're no longer turned on with a miracle. And it upsets me. You ought to have standing room only at King's House 1 on Sunday to come and simply say, thank you, God, for demonstrating that you care for us. I want you to get on the telephone and talk to me. And across this network, I've bitten the bullet and decided we're going to be supported by tithers. And if there are not enough tithers in each town to support, I'll just cancel. That's all. I now have been in the cities teaching long enough to test the soil. And if there's not enough tithers in each city to carry the load, I don't want to stay in the city. So we people that came in the 33,000 King's House level, and people that were the first night of King's Houses at the 300 level, getting numbers as King's tithers that are down in the low first 3,000. Now it's a low number to be in the first 3,000. So if you have not called and made your commitment, I want to be a King's tither. If there are two of you or three of you that tithe in the house on separate incomes, then specify that. We'll give you, each individual gets his own number as a King's tither. Now the song is I Want to Know. I want these cities that want us to stay in their area to get on the phone and join this elite foundation band, the tithing force, the King's tithing force. And you can start calling in with the new. Once I declared war, that the voices of faith would determine whether or not we make it, that came under attack. And when I sent out a call for 24 hours upgrading on the phones, not only is Satan showing us that we can't have the phones manned 30 hours or 24 hours a day, he's going to show us we can't even have them manned for a live festival. And some of you are responsible for him having that victory here in Los Angeles. You've lost your first love. Now play that song again. Slow geographers or too fast sign-ups, Mike, but there's got to be a way to speed this map up. I mean, divide them up, go over there and set up a system until you can get those pins on the map and I can get a look at where the tithers are being assembled. And if there's two in one house, you put two on the map. But if you have to put six people there, get some ladies. They know how to read a map. and get that thing organized until I get those pins on that map. I have taught and it's time for this ministry to be funded and founded God's way on tithers. I'm going to teach you while they're on the phone. Chapter 11, the book of Numbers. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord. These are the children of Israel. Page 176, if you've got a Bible like mine. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Don't pay to make God mad. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, that is, a burning, because the fire